All right, so you know how we're always worried about keeping our homes safe,
Yeah.
you know, for people who come over? Well, today we're looking at a case where hospitality kind of took a turn for the worse, legally speaking. We're going to be talking icy driveways, injuries we don't expect, and really just thinking about, you know, how far responsibility goes.
Yeah, and what's so interesting about this case, Carter v. Kinney, is that it makes us think about all the different levels of duty we have to people that come on our property, and it unpacks legally what it means to be a guest, which is interesting.
Yeah, and the cool thing is we're looking at the actual opinion from the Missouri Supreme Court on this case. So it's like we're going behind the scenes and seeing how the judges made their decision.
Right, so let's just kind of set the scene here. So it's a cold February morning in Missouri. A man named Jonathan Carter, he's headed to a Bible study at the home of some fellow church members, Ronald and Mary Kinney.
All right. Sounds pretty innocent so far, right? Just casual little get together.
Yeah, just a casual gathering, that is, until Carter slips on a patch of ice on their driveway
Oh, no.
and breaks his leg. So, of course, he sued the homeowners.
I could see why he'd be upset. So I guess here's where the legal battle begins. Did the Kinneys, did they have a responsibility to protect Carter from that ice?
That's the question. And it really all comes down to if Carter was an invitee or a licensee, legally speaking.
Okay. I'm already hearing this invitee licensee thing, and I feel like it's important. Can you break those down for us?
Yeah, so it really comes down to permission and purpose. Legally, there's three main categories of people who enter a property.
Okay, let's hear them.
Okay, so first we got trespassers. These are people on your property without permission. So think like someone cutting through your backyard. They have the lowest duty of care from the homeowner, basically meaning if something happens to them, not the homeowner's problem.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you're sneaking around, you're taking your chances.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
All right. Next up, we have licensees. So these are people that have permission to be on the property, but the owner doesn't really benefit from them being there. So think like your neighbor coming over to borrow a cup of sugar.
Okay.
The owner has a duty to warn them about dangers they know about, so like a broken step or something like that, but they don't have to go looking for any hidden problems.
Got it. So licensees are welcome, but they're not getting the red carpet rolled out or anything.
Exactly.
Okay.
Then last but not least, we have the invitees. Now, this is where it gets kind of interesting. These are people on the property because it benefits the owner. So like customers in a store or someone you hire to, fix something in your house. The owner has the highest duty of care to them. So they have to protect them from danger they know about and anything that they could have reasonably discovered.
Wow, okay, that's a big difference. So in this case, was Carter a licensee like a friend borrowing sugar or an invitee like a contractor?
Well, that's what the court had to decide. And to do that, they had to look at what the Kinneys intended when they invited Carter over.
Okay, so their intentions are key. Were they hoping to get something like a material benefit from him being there, or was it just a casual invitation?
Exactly. And this is where things get a little complicated because the court had to figure out if having this Bible study with fellow church members was a material benefit to the Kinneys. Because if it was, Carter could be considered an invitee.
So were they like secretly running a for-profit Bible study empire or something?
Well, no, not exactly. But Carter's lawyers argued that even if there wasn't a direct financial benefit, the Bible study did provide some mutual intangible benefit. So think spiritual growth, fellowship, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I see that argument. I mean, those things are valuable even if there isn't money involved. Did the court buy it?
Well, not really. They decided that if they stretched material benefit to cover things like spiritual growth, it would blur the lines between licensee and invitee. And then the law would just be too hard to apply, like consistently.
Okay, so consistency in the legal system, I can see that. But then this case makes you wonder, like, if a party or a book club, any purely social event, doesn't have that material benefit for the host, does that mean everyone who comes is just a licensee?
Yeah, you got it. And the court actually clarified that even social guests usually fall under the licensee category.
So even just like having friends over for dinner, legally they're just licensees. Huh, who knew?
It's a good reminder that even casual hangouts have legal stuff involved. But before we get too deep into that, let's take a step back and look at the bigger picture for a second.
Okay, sounds good to me. I'm ready to broaden our horizons a little. So this whole thing really makes you think. If even like casual friends over are usually licensees, does that mean homeowners have like less responsibility for their safety?
Yeah, that's a question that legal scholars have been debating for a while. And some people think that these categories, these like super strict categories, are kind of outdated, and that maybe we should just have like a standard of reasonable care.
Reasonable care, what exactly does that mean?
So basically, instead of like trying to figure out is this person a trespasser or a licensee or an invitee, we would just expect homeowners to like take reasonable steps to protect anyone who is on their property.
So it wouldn't matter if they were like a close friend or a church member or even just like the mailman, you know? The homeowner should just be making sure that they're safe, period.
Yeah, that's the general idea. And people who support this idea, they say it's simpler, it's more fair, and it just like makes more sense for how we view relationships now.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, trying to like put people into categories based on material benefit does seem a little bit rigid, especially nowadays when there's so many different types of, you know, gatherings and relationships.
Dude, exactly. And this idea of a material benefit. It's kind of outdated, don't you think? Like,
Yeah.
what about companionship, shared experiences, community building? Those things have value even if money isn't changing hands.
Yeah, exactly. You can't put a price tag on a good potluck or a good book club discussion.
Right. And that's why some legal experts think it's time to move away from these strict categories and just go with a more flexible, more nuanced approach.
So is reasonable care the future of, you know, property law? Are we all going to be treated like invitees no matter why we're at someone's house?
It's really hard to tell for sure because the legal world is always changing. But this case, Carter v. Kinney, it gives us a really interesting look at this whole debate that's going on.
It's like this whole case is like a mini version of a much bigger conversation about how the law is trying to keep up with all the changing social stuff.
Exactly. And it shows us how hard it is to find a good balance between protecting homeowners from these like frivolous lawsuits while also making sure that guests are reasonably safe.
It's a tough balance, for sure. This makes me wonder, though, what happened with Carter v. Kinney? Did Mr. Carter end up getting any compensation for his broken leg?
Unfortunately for Mr. Carter, the court ended up siding with the homeowners.
Oh, no.
They said he was a licensee, and because the Kinneys didn't know about the ice, they weren't liable for his injury.
Oh, man, what a tough break for him, like literally and figuratively. But even though he didn't win, it sounds like his case helped clarify a really important legal question.
Exactly. And even though it was a very specific situation, it had like these ripple effects on how we understand this whole area of law. It made the courts really think about what material benefit means, especially in these social settings.
Yeah, it also kind of makes you realize that even casual get-togethers can have these like unintended legal consequences.
Definitely. And it shows that the law isn't always so black and white. There's a lot of gray areas and stuff that the courts have to sort through.
Well, I think now our listeners are pretty much legal experts on this whole licensee invitee thing. But before we wrap up this deep dive, I have one more question for you.
Okay, I'm ready. Shoot.
So if Missouri was so into these traditional distinctions, why do they end up getting rid of them and going with reasonable care later on?
That's a really great question, and it shows you've been paying attention. It's true that Missouri, and a lot of other states too, eventually moved away from these categories and went with a single standard.
And there's a few reasons for that.
Okay, so spill the tea. What happened? Well, one reason was that people started to feel like these old categories, they were just too rigid. They were too hard to actually apply in real life. Like, real life is messy, and trying to like force everyone into these little boxes just wasn't working anymore.
Yeah, like we were saying earlier, how do you categorize a book club or a neighborhood potluck? There's value there, but it doesn't really fit the old definition of a material benefit.
Exactly. And courts were getting all tied up in knots trying to apply these categories to all these complicated social situations. It just wasn't consistent. It wasn't predictable, which is the opposite of what you want from the law.
So it just got too clunky, too outdated.
Exactly. And another reason was that people realized they needed more fairness, more consistency in how we treat people who get hurt on someone else's property.
Maybe what do you mean by that?
Well, in the old system, your legal rights could be totally different depending on whether you were a licensee or an invitee. And those distinctions, like we've talked about, weren't always clear or fair.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem kind of random that a friend coming over for dinner has less protection than someone fixing your sink.
Exactly. And there was this growing feeling that it should be about whether the homeowner acted reasonably in that situation, not about what legal label we put on the person who got hurt.
So basically, it was about making things simpler and making sure everyone was treated more fairly.
Yeah, you got it. It was about realizing that the old ways weren't working anymore, and we needed a more modern, flexible approach.
So this whole thing about a guy slipping on ice, it actually started a much bigger conversation about how property law works. Who knew a little patch of ice could lead to such a big change?
It really goes to show you that even these small legal disputes can have huge effects. And it reminds us that the law is constantly changing and adapting to keep up with how we view things.
Well, I think that's a perfect spot to wrap up this part of our deep dive. But before we move on, I want to make sure our listeners know what's coming next.
Sounds good. What's on the agenda?
So we've covered the legal stuff in Carter v. Kinney, and now it's time to talk about what it all means practically.
Okay, I like where you're going with this.
In our last part, we're going to be thinking like homeowners and guests. We're going to talk about how this case and this shift towards reasonable care affects what we think we need to do and what rights we have when we're at someone else's place.
Ooh, I'm excited for this. This is going to be good. It's one thing to know the theory, but it's another thing to actually think about it in real life.
Exactly. So listeners, if you've ever wondered about your own legal duties as a host, or if you've been in a situation where you weren't sure about your rights as a guest, then the next part is for you. Stick around. All right, so we've gone through all the legal twists and turns of Carter v. Kinney. We've talked about how this whole area of law has changed. But now I think it's time to bring it back down to earth and think about what it means for us, like, every day.
Right, because knowing the law is one thing, but how it affects what we actually do, that's what matters.
Exactly. So let's pretend for a second we're the listener. Let's say you're having some people over. Could be a barbecue, a book club, anything really. Knowing what we know now about all this legal stuff, would you do anything differently?
It definitely gives you some stuff to think about. Like, would you be more aware of, like, things that could be dangerous, even for friends just dropping by? Would you be more likely to say, hey, watch out for that step or that part of the sidewalk's uneven?
Yeah, because even though the law might be changing about, like, licensees and invitees, we still have that, like, moral obligation to look out for our guests.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And in fact, you could say this move toward reasonable care actually makes that responsibility even stronger. It's like saying, look, no matter what the legal label is, let's just treat everyone with respect and look out for their safety.
Yeah, I like that. It's less about putting people into categories and more about just being a good host.
Exactly. And then on the other side of things, if you're the guest, knowing all this can help you be more aware and take care of yourself too, even if it's just a casual hangout.
So it goes both ways, right? Hosts need to make sure their place is reasonably safe, and guests got to be mindful and look out for themselves too.
Right, and this all really comes back to communication too. If you're the host, don't be afraid to point out if something might be dangerous. And if you're the guest, it's okay to ask if there's anything you should know about.
It's like we create this shared responsibility thing where everyone's comfortable speaking up and looking out for each other.
Right, exactly. And at the end of the day, that's really what being a good host is all about, making sure everyone feels welcome and safe and respected.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
So to all our listeners out there, as you're navigating the social world, armed with all this new knowledge about premises liability, remember, it's not just about avoiding lawsuits. It's about being mindful and building good relationships with the people in our lives.
And it's about finding that balance between enjoying being a host and making sure that everyone who comes into our homes is safe and sound.
Well said. And on that note, I think we're going to wrap up our deep dive into this fascinating world of premises liability. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep those conversations going.